All right. I appreciate you joining us today, and for those who've joined us via the radio program, we're glad that you've tuned in. We're on every week at this time, and we love to have new listeners, and we would love to hear from you. If you're listening via the radio, our website is understandingyourbible.com, www.understandingyourbible.com, and Brother Trey Searcy will give you that information at the end of the broadcast. And we would love to hear from you via the email or come visit us at 3827 Hickson Pike. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock we have two Bible study sessions, and then Sunday night at 6 p.m. And, of course, you can watch our broadcast on our website anytime. All the messages are archived there, and as well as on live. We broadcast live every Sunday morning at 11:15. And also Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So we've had some visitors lately that had heard us on the radio. We hope that they'll be back. And we'd love to have any of you out there in Chattanooga that are listening to us come be a part of our assembly. Today I want to talk to you about a subject that's extremely important and yet many times is overlooked in the general course of Bible study. And that is the Word of God. I want you to look at two passages this morning to begin with. Hebrews chapter 4 and Psalms chapter 29. In Hebrews chapter 4, of course, there's a very familiar passage there about the Word of God. It's Hebrews 4:12. In Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, that's a tremendous verse that speaks to the Word of God, both being quick, that is alive, and powerful, and he says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, if you look back in Psalms chapter 29, verse 4, the Bible says that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now, today, we have a lot of people that claim to hear an audible message from God that is the voice of God. I do not believe that God has spoken to anyone since audibly since the Word of God was completed. And I believe that the only way that God is going to speak to mankind today is through His completed Word. And of course the question comes up then, where is and where do we find the Word of God? Well, I believe that the Word of God is the King James Bible for English-speaking people. The reason I believe that is years ago, before I knew anything about manuscript evidence or that kind of thing, I took the Bible I was using and a King James Bible and sat down and compared verses. And what I found was there were many verses that were changed that completely changed the meaning of the verse. The word blood was left out of many verses. And I also found that there were many verses that were completely left out of these other Bibles. And so I came to the conclusion that the King James Bible was the one that most exalted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God in His deity. Most translations of the Bible will make Jesus Christ something less than the only begotten Son of God. They will destroy the truth of the virgin birth and different things such as that. So I suffice it to say, because of time's sake, I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I believe that people choose to either believe that or not. And what I find interesting is that there's a multitude of people that talk about believing the Bible, and yet is the Word of God, and yet when you really narrow it down, they will tell you that what they believe is that the originals were inspired, but that the Bible in its translations by men has errors and problems in it. I was teaching our teenagers in the Bible school this year, and we were talking about choices, and we were talking about the choice of believing. And I started that study in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Say, well, why is that important? Well, because, listen, there are multitudes of people today, and you may be one of them that is listening here, that say that they believe in God, they believe in Christ, and so forth, but they do not believe that the Bible is true in all aspects. As I was preparing for that lesson, I read several articles where people said that they believed that the first eight chapters of Genesis was a myth. It was a fable. It was just a story that was made up to explain how people got here. Well, listen, if you don't believe Genesis 1:1, then how could you believe anything else in the Bible is true? Because when the Bible speaks of itself, it talks about the voice of God, the Word of God, and so forth. And the Bible has a lot to say about the fact that it is pure, sound, and so forth. Look, if you will, in Psalms chapter 12, since we're in Psalms here. In Psalms chapter 12, and most of you are familiar with these verses, we'll just read them quickly. But in Psalms 12, verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words. That means they're not defiled. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, it's interesting that when you look at that verse, it says, thou shalt preserve them. What is the them? Thy words, the words of the Lord, have been preserved. People say, well, I believe the originals. Well, that's interesting because there are no originals today. They have been destroyed. There are copies of the originals, and that is exactly how God preserved His Word. Why, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ read from the Word of God. But I doubt if Jesus Christ had the originals that were written down. You see, the God has preserved His Word through a multiplicity of copies that have been made. And what you find, the reason that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God is because it is based on the most reliable manuscripts available, over 5,000 pieces of manuscript evidence. And yet there are other texts that came forth that were corrupted. And in case you didn't know this, the King James Bible is the only Bible that you can get your hands on today that came exclusively from that received text, that Textus Receptus. And when they decided they needed to revise the King James and make the new King James, do you know what they did? Every change they made was based on the corrupted text. Now, it would take hours to go through all the stuff about manuscript evidence and so forth, but search that out. Check it out for yourself. There are many books you can read about that and so forth. The point is, the words of the Lord are pure words. They're as silver tried in the furnace of earth. And He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Look over in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, in verse 140. Psalms 119, 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And then over in Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, once again, the Bible is spoken of, the Word of God, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. The words of the Word of God is settled. In Psalms 119, where we were a moment ago, the Bible speaks of the Word of God being settled. Let me go there and read that quickly in Psalms 119, in verse 89. Psalms 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But you see, it didn't remain in heaven. God saw fit to bring forth His Word, have men write it down, and as they wrote it down, it's recorded and it's been preserved for us today. Listen, if you do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that you have the Word of God, what are you building upon as far as your faith is concerned? The foundation of God standeth sure. We have the Word of God in all that we do. And we may disagree about many things about the Word of God, but listen, the problem is not with the Word, the problem is with us. The Bible is a pure Word. They're holy words, they're settled words, they're preserved words, they are right. In Psalms chapter 33, Psalms 33, in verse 4, the Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." So thankfully, God has not only preserved His Word, the Bible says that He has magnified in Psalms 138, verses 1 and 2, that He has magnified His Word above His very name. The Word of God. You either believe it or you don't. And if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, and you believe, well, you see, people want to skirt this issue and talk about, well, evolution. Well, I believe in evolution, but I also believe in the Bible. No, you don't. Evolution. The Bible does not support evolution. And by the way, it takes far more faith to believe in evolution than it does the Bible. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And you know, you can go through and you can find all kinds of instances in the Bible that people label as the things that are hard to believe, like an axe floating, a jackass speaking. And you think, you know, all of those things, people say, well, how could that happen? Well, all you got to do is go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. If God could create heaven and earth and all things and mankind, you think He couldn't make a donkey speak? Or an axe float? There were many miraculous things that were recorded in the Word of God. I believe every word of them, and every one of them is true. The Word of God is where we put our confidence. Say, well, I just have a hard time believing that. Well, you can choose. You can choose to believe the Bible means what it says. And that's extremely important, because if Genesis 1:1 is not true, how do you know 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 is, where the Bible says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day. What if there was a word left out? How that Christ died for most of our sins. You see, to add to the Word of God or take away from it is a very dangerous thing to do. You have the Word of God. If you don't have your King James Bible, I would suggest mightily that you get one, compare it with the others, and put your faith in the words of that book. Why? Because the Word of God is what God is using today to get the work done through the members of the body of Christ. Now, there's several things I want us to notice in our remaining time this morning. The first off is the power of God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Look in Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. In Romans 1, 16, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Speaking of the other translations of the Bible, there are many that leave the words "of Christ" out, and they simply have it, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Well, there's more than one gospel in your Bible. There's the gospel of the kingdom. There's the gospel of Christ. Paul speaks of the gospel of the grace of God. And so it's important that those words are there. And he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice, "for it, that gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, what is that gospel? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, the Apostle Paul tells us clearly what that gospel is. And he says, before he gives the gospel, that is that by which a person is saved. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. You see how that will tie with Romans 1:16? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now there are numerous other verses in the Bible that convey that same truth in different words. But I use that because Paul said the gospel is the power of God to salvation, and he makes it clear here that that gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Word of God is powerful. It is the Word of God that is the power to save. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 18, Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How do you preach the cross? By preaching the truth of the Word of God, how that Christ died for our sins. Look over in the book of James. It's interesting, in the book of James, a verse that is there, in relation to the salvation for those 12 tribes that James is writing to. He says there in James 1:1, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. But notice what he says down in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, the word spoken is one thing. The word engrafted had to do with that which was written down. The engrafted word. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Very familiar passage about the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking about in verse 12 through 18, the experience that they had, the disciples had there on the at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says there in verse 17, for he received from God the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now notice what it says. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard. In other words, they heard a literal physical voice, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 9 when the Lord spoke to him. But notice what he says in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now notice, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. With one stroke of the pen, Peter does away with one of the main objections among people today about the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it said and how many times I've read it in writing that the Bible has errors because it was written by man. That's the big argument today. After all, well, men wrote that. Yes, men did write it. But it is clear in the passage, he said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote down exactly, that's what we talk about, the doctrine of inspiration, is that God inspired men, and they, by supernatural inspiration, wrote down the Word of God, and there came a time when it came to completion. And Paul speaks of that in Colossians chapter 1. fulfilling the Word of God. Since that completion, God has not audibly spoken to any man, I don't care who he is, and no matter what their claims are, the Bible said, Paul said, no man has seen God. You want to hear from God, you're going to have to get it out of this book. Now, he says it's a more sure word of prophecy. Did you know that the reason that documents are written today is so that, and things are put in writing? You know, it used to, when I was growing up, the idea of man's word was his bond. Well, that's a good philosophy if you can remember what your words were. People seem to have a tendency to forget. I can't tell you how many discussions, I would call them arguments, but don't want to, with my own family about, well, Papa, you said thus and so. And I said, never said it. And then originally they'll convince me that I did say it. And I'll have no remembrance of it whatsoever. Or I'll remember it a different way. And at one point I said, I'm going to start writing everything down. Have y'all sign it when I make commitments. You know why that's important? That's a more sure word. You know, if we started here and I told you just a simple statement of fact and you went out and told somebody else, you would probably tell it a little bit different. And then somebody else would tell it maybe a little bit different than that. And by it got down to the 100th person, it probably wouldn't even resemble what I said to begin with. That's how rumors are. That's how rumors get started. I've seen that happen time and again about people's health. You know, somebody will say, well, so-and-so is sick or whatever. And by the time it got back to, they're practically at the funeral home. And by that time, they've gone home and are doing well. I just say that because these verses are so important. We have a more sure word of prophecy. God saw fit not to leave it to tell some man to tell you what he wants you to know. He wrote it in a book. And it's yours. And you can have it. And you can read it. And you can have understanding of it. And you can believe it. Because it is God's holy word of God. You see, they heard the very voice of God. But Peter said, we have a more sure word. What was he talking about? That which was written down by men who by inspiration wrote by the Word of God. So the Word of God is important because it is the power of God to save people today. Not only that, it is the power that God uses to cause us to grow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to a carnal bunch of people at Corinth. And he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men. So they were carnal people because they had not followed Paul's instructions. And he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. If you compare that with Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, you'll find that the Bible is spoken of as strong meat. Let me get over there and read it. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, the milk, the meat of God's word is what we use to grow. And you're not going to grow apart from the Word of God. You can get saved and never open the Bible, but you'll never grow apart from personal Bible study and learning and being instructed by the Word of God. Not only that, the Bible has the power to transform our lives. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Your life is either going to be in goose step with the philosophies of man and so forth, or the word of God. And our minds and our hearts can be transformed by the power of God's word. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed by the study of the word of God. Then notice in Romans chapter 10, the power, the word of God also has the power to motivate us to do that which God desires for us to do. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, our zeal should be according to the word of God. He said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, the instruction of the word of God, people can have a zeal of God, but our zeal needs to be according to the word of God, according to knowledge. Because there are multitudes of people, they go door to door, they're zealous of what they're doing, they work their fingers to the bone, and yet they're not teaching people the truth. And those that have the truth ought to be motivated by that truth. The Bible said the love of Christ constraineth us. And it's not our love for Christ, it's Christ's love for us. And so we should allow the word of God to motivate us. Brother Mark spoke last week, and he was telling me, I didn't get to hear the lesson, but he was telling me that in a more personal discussion that we had, that he had asked someone about teaching and so forth, and he'd just kind of lost his zeal about that, and the person said, Start reading your Bible. Start studying your Bible. If you are studying your Bible and you learn the truth of God's Word, you're going to have the desire to tell that to somebody else. Not what you necessarily believe, but what you've seen in the Scriptures. And you share that with people. That's a motivation. Not only that, Paul talks in Romans chapter 15 about the comfort of the Scriptures. And the greatest comfort of the Scriptures is that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life. I hope that you listening today know that. If you don't, we've told you the gospel. It's how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, everyone that believeth. You see, religion might have told you that you had to join a church, be baptized, walk an aisle, or repeat a prayer. You don't have to do any of that. Just trust Jesus Christ and what the Bible says about Him, and believe that and receive it. And then get you a King James Bible, and you begin to read and study and concentrate to begin with on Romans through Philemon. Those are the epistles for the church, the body of Christ, through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll join us again next week.